I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. In the late 60s, when assassinations and race riots shook this country to the core, a couple of guys named Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen, one black, one white, decided that America was ready for an interracial comedy duo. They eventually had very successful careers separately, but while together, audiences didn't quite know what to make of them. Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen call themselves the first and the last black-white comedy team, and they've got a new book out chronicling their partnership called Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White. Tim and Tom joined me here at NPR News.
Good to see you, Tony.
Nice to meet you, Tony.
You know what? Let's start with this. Let's play a clip of you guys together back when you were doing your routine on the road, and let's talk about that, because I think that really sort of says who you are, what you were doing, and why you're here, and we're talking about it today. Here
1969.
It is. Check me out now. Remember, we brothers.
We brothers.
In the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
All right. Hey, what's happening, Jive? My main man. Say, look here, baby, this way I catch Big Mac. I got to ease uptown, get me some new rags. You know, a couple fronts, pair of gators. Go check them traps. Do a little night crawling through the hood.
That's out of sight, man. I didn't know you spoke a foreign language.
That's ghetto talk, man. That's the way you talk in the hood.
In the hood?
The neighborhood. Just walk up here and repeat what I just said. Come on now, I'm waiting for the bus. Hey, baby.
Look here, man. That's where I catch Big Rag. I gotta slide uptown and buy a bus. There's some alligators stuck in my traps. I'm gonna go crawl through the night with a hood on.
No, Tom. Don't you ever crawl through a black neighborhood with a hood on.
1969, a black comedian and a white comedian telling that joke on stage. I guess it would depend, Tim, where you told that joke in terms of how it was received.
Well, yeah, well, how hard they would laugh or whatever. But actually, the material worked in both black and white audiences, because you got to remember there was so much polarization at that time. Black audiences just loved to see him screw up their lifestyle, their style, and white folks just loved to see him take the dare and say things that they all, you know, would like to say.
How difficult, if at all, Tom, was it for you to find? Because this is race comedy, to find a place of comfort for you in the material that you did with something like this.
I had no discomfort whatsoever, mainly because I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. But Tim and I were very comfortable, as Tim points out all the time, in our skin. We were buddies, we were pals, we were friends. And so what the audience was witnessing, they were looking in on a black guy and a white guy who were friends. We were having a discourse, regardless of what we were talking about, whatever, a lot of our material wasn't racial, but we were having a discourse, and they weren't.
Really?
They weren't. So they saw Tim and I having a lot of fun, you know, on stage.
What was it that made you and Tim decide to put this act together at that time?
Well, we were in the JCs at that time in a civic group, and we had written a drug education program teaching grade school children the ills of drug abuse with humor. We never thought we'd be in show, but this was the furthest thing from our minds. And the program became very successful in 50 states and in 22 foreign countries. JCs used that program as a model program through their publications. And one day, a little eighth grade girl said, "You guys are funny. You ought to become a comedy team." And the thought of a black-white comedy team intrigued us, because there never had been one in the history of America. So we went out and became the first, and as history shows, the last.
It's not often, Tim, that the Junior Chamber of Commerce is a place where entertainers get their start.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever people ask me how do you get in the show business, I said, "Join the JCs." They all go, "Ha ha!" I'm going, "No, I'm serious." Yeah, that's a wonderful thing about life. If you're just open for it, and you're not adverse to change or taking chances of. It can take you on a strange journey. And that young girl, she's now a grown woman, and we actually saw on our book tour in Chicago, she came up and introduced herself, and Tom remembered the family name.
Really?
She was a young lady. And, you know, interesting thing about it, as we think back from this point back, when she said that, the irony of it is she didn't say you ought to be a black and white comedy team. She just said, "You guys are funny. You ought to be a comedy team."
Wow.
You know, today she'd say you ought to be a black and white
comedy team. Now, when you, the book, Tim and Tom, An American Comedy in Black and White, you look back over what you did. You must be astounded, A, that you did it, B, that you, you know, had some relative success with it, and C, that, you know, nobody else was able to do that.
Yeah, that's the part that's really a bit surprising, is that there was, after that, not one successful team, and or two men who, or man, woman, however, that would have enough courage to go against the media vision of what black and white America is, to go against that and dare it, outside of sketches on Richard Pryor or Saturday Night Live or whatever it is, it was never done. And it was almost like a built-in taboo. That I find that interesting because we're so-called such a liberal nation after the civil rights era. You know, we're supposedly all that's behind us. We run into that now with the book. We have been, I've been a little bit frustrated that we have not gotten some of the interests of like the newspaper
morning talk shows.
No, not there? So much, but the newspaper critical reviews and book, whether they say good things or bad things, that the New York Times book review or the LA Times book review actually turned down the option to review the book because like, nobody's interested in that. You know, is that sort of so-called liberalism that actually worked against them just reviewing the book. Now, I'm not saying giving us a positive one.
I understand.
Just review the book.
That's why do you think they did that, Tom?
Well, I'm very frustrated. You know, when Tim and I were together, you know, we ran against this resistance all the time, a black guy and a white guy together. We ran against this resistance. We did two national television shows in those days. The David Frost Show, a black man, got us that show, and the Merv Griffin Show, a black woman, got us that show. Today, when we came back together, when we joined together again, just on this book tour, we did David Letterman. I called David personally. We did Jay Leno because Tim and I knew Jay Leno. We did that. We got through it personally. We did Tavis Smiley because Tim knew Tavis Smiley. We did Bonnie Hunt because of my relationship with Bonnie Hunt and Craig Ferguson because of the David Letterman show. The white liberal newspaper, as he pointed out, the LA Times would not review us, and neither would the white liberal newspaper, the New York Times, review us. So white liberals who claim to be liberal aren't really that liberal at all. Larry King Show turned us down, even though Barbara Sinatra called him personally. The View turned us down.
Even though we contacted
them personally, we knew people on it, The View. Regis and Kathy, Dave Letterman called them personally.
Actually, I turned Regis and Kathy down.
Okay. So, you know what I say? I say about if Tim would have written the book alone, it would have been a success, or if Tom Dreesen would have written the book alone. But Tim and Tom together, I say this to you. If Barack Obama would have been married to a white woman, he would have never gotten the nomination of his party. Never.
I'd have voted for him.
Yeah. If you read the book, you can find out why.
Let me tell our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. With me are Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen talking about their new book, Tim and Tom, An American Comedy in Black and White. Were you really smacked in the face with a snowball in Minnesota on stage?
No, University of Illinois. A guy hit me right in the face with an ice ball. A guy put a lit cigarette out, as you know, you're going to probably get that. I put a lit cigarette out in Tim's face at a club in Chicago Heights, Illinois, and then tried to beat me half to death. But at University of Illinois, we were in the middle of our act, and a guy hit me right in the face with an ice ball. In the darkness, I couldn't see who it was, and it hit me so fast and so crisp, Tim didn't even realize it. My face was stinging, and I grabbed the mic, and I started calling him every name I could think of that I learned from the white and the black community, and I calling him out. Come on, turn the lights on, you coward. And Tim thought, half the audience thought it was part of a...
I thought he was having a seizure.
Half the audience thought it was part of our routine, and Tim thought that and the other half thought I was nuts, and Tim thought I went insane on the stage, too.
And Tim, and you had an even worse situation, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we were attacked. We were chased out of town. I was poisoned in the city. I mean, it was part of life that we understood was always possible back then. And in a sense that it was part of being black in America and was part of being a black and white comedy team in America. You know, I was raised in the segregated South in Colored Town. And so I knew going into it that there would be some resistance, but you forget that, and you just go do what you have to do. I mean, he was attacked on stage in New Orleans by a white bigot just because he said the guy's city was named after Calhoun, Amos and Andy's lawyer.
The guy said, I'm from Calhoun, Alabama. You know what that says? I said, yeah, that's Amos and Andy's lawyer, Calhoun.
Guy went berserk.
Well, you know, I would think, and I'm going to ask you, Tom, because since you were associated with Tim, who is black, just by extension, you became sort of a honorary black person for the time that you guys were together and were treated as one sometimes.
You want to know the interesting thing about racism in those days, and I can't speak for now, but it's probably the same now. In those days, if we were working in an all-black club, and we worked many all-black clubs, there were no comedy clubs in those days, so we worked the Chitlin' Circuit, you know, black-owned, black-operated nightclubs. If a black guy was in the audience and he hated white people, hated them with a passion, he wasn't mad at me. He was mad at Tim for being with me. If we worked a white club or the redneck who hated black people with a passion, he wasn't mad at Tim. He was mad at me for being with Tim, you know. So we always had that kind of, that's where racism was in those days. And we received it from both sides, but but on the other hand, 95% or more love what we did. All this in the last election, talking about we need more discourse among the races, you know, and Tim and I were the discourse in those days.
Everybody who was around, or not everyone, but many people who were around when you guys were doing your thing back in the 60s and 70s and so on further, at some point they get together again just to see, you know, what that would be like. You guys thinking about doing that again, even if it's just for a concert or, you know, putting the routine together one more time for old times' sake?
You're too old for that. But, no, I think we are, in a way, this book tour has done that, where we have talked and lectured and been doing shows. And it's sort of been interesting to not relive, but to be together and talk about that era in today's world. As Tom said, he has some frustrations about how some people in the business, so-called open liberalism in the business, has rejected us. It's not a surprise to me. I mean, it's part of life. It was a surprise to him. They didn't care then. They don't care now. But it is sort of interesting to see race today compared to what it was like then. As we now enter a new era of race, where literally Dr. King's prophecy has come to be that it's about the content of one's character.
This has been great. Let me bring it to a close with a couple of questions. Back in those days, there were what I would call four food groups of black comedy. Mm-hmm. Okay, first one was Richard Pryor. Second one was Bill Cosby. Third one was Dick Gregory. And the fourth one was Red Fox. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my four food groups of comedy, black comedy. Where did your comedy fit into that?
We were sort of a blend of Dick Gregory and perhaps Bill Cosby. Now, you got to remember, Richard Pryor was not Richard Pryor back in the day.
That's true.
He was a late. That urban view of Richard didn't come until the 80s. Back then, he was an imitation, as we all were, of the great Bill Cosby, who to this day is probably the primo comedy genius. I know Richard gets the credit, but Richard, if I was alive today, would tell you it was Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Red was by himself. But there were only two other comics doing race humor back then other than Tom and I, and that was Dick Gregory and Godfrey Cambridge, the late Godfrey Cambridge.
Yeah,
We're the only ones. No one else touched race.
It's true. Here's my question for you. It seems as if Johnny Carson really was a king maker for you. That story that you tell about your first appearance on Carson and how nervous you were when you finally, you know, went back and the stagehand was like, you know, you've arrived. Was it really that powerful?
Absolutely. In those days, wherever you went in America, people would say, what do you do for a living? You say, I'm a stand-up comedian. And the next question out of their mouth was, oh, yeah, you ever been on Johnny Carson? And if you hadn't been on Johnny Carson, in the eyes of America, you just weren't a comedian. You might want to be one. You might gonna be one. But you weren't one then because he established it. And so the pressure was enormous, absolutely enormous. You do one Tonight Show. Freddie Prinze did one Tonight Show. He got a sitcom the next day. I did one Tonight Show. The following day, CBS signed me to a development deal. I went from the unemployment line to having all my bills paid for a year. It was a very, very powerful show.
That's a great story on Johnny Carson and then being recognized in the unemployment line the next day.
The next day. And Tim, when you read the book, you'll find it was a pivotal point in my career, certainly, but a pivotal pivotal point. My first Tonight Show was a pivotal point in Tim's career, too, as he was laying up in bed watching me that night.
Broke. You know,
Is that when you were on the floor in the apartment with no furniture, no
that
woman?
Was right yeah, that was right after that. I was...
Yeah, look where you are now.
The book is about motivation. It's about friendship. It's about bonding. It's about hardship. It's about all those things at a time, 1969 and 1975, when America was in turmoil. And Tim and I went across the land trying to just make people laugh. That's really all we wanted to do. And we accomplished that. And we're still here today, you know, and we're still making people laugh. In answer to his question, would we ever get back together? Maybe for one venture, maybe one time for a charity or something. But also, certainly I'd do something on television with Tim or, you know, we do
you should do that,
a movie
man.
Together
you should
or something.
Do that.
Well, this is our 40th year in show business, this year celebrated. So we were thinking about, we got to do something, 40 years.
Absolutely.
My God, survive that long in this business.
You've done a lot of things, but I would bet, Tim, that people still associate you mostly with Venus Flytrap.
Yeah. I knew that when I went audition for the job. I said, I don't think I want this job. I don't want to be 60 years old and have somebody say, hey, Venus. And boy, it happens.
The same thing happened to me in respect. I did over 500 appearances on national television as a stand-up comedian, 61 appearances on The Tonight Show. I've hosted David Letterman's show. But everybody always says, didn't you travel with Frank Sinatra? Weren't you Frank Sinatra's opening act? I know I told Frank one day that one day, no matter what I do in life, I could find the cure to cancer, my obituary is going to say the comedian who toured with Frank Sinatra, because he was larger than life. You know?
Amazing, guys. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story. It's great. I really appreciate it. Good luck with this.
Thank you.
Thank
I'll call
you,
some of my friends for you.
Oh, please do. Please do.
By the way,
money.
Tony, yours, $24.95 that you have in your hand.
That was Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen. They've got a new book out about their years as a stand-up comedy duo called Tim and Tom, an American comedy in black and white. They joined us here at the studios of NPR West. If you'd like to see video of our interview, go to our blog at nprnewsandviews.org.